Blog Talk Radio.
You found the Blisterfish show. This is our debut show. We're just starting out, and hopefully we're going to have some interesting topics. We're going to get a little wild and crazy. We're going to talk about current events, religion, corruption, conspiracies, atheist issues, Cosmos show, science, whatever. We're not geniuses here or any kind of breaking any new ground or recreating the wheel, but we just want to have fun and invite all you guys out there that are surfing around. If you hit on us, call in and we're going to have a good time, man. A lot of joking around, a lot of drops, and we think it's going to be a good show. So, in saying all that, I do have a co-host. A good friend of mine, and he should be calling in here in a second, if he's not already there. That's old DB, an old cohort of mine, and been around the block for a while. I'm working out of Detroit. I'm buried down here in a bunker in Detroit, and my cohort, old DB. He's over there, and old DB is in BFE. he's over in there in, on the western side of Michigan. And what we're going to try to do is I'm going to run the board here and run the show. And he's going to bring up a lot of the topics. He's a little more well-read than I am, old DB. By the way, you can refer to me as Uncle Fester. We have all Adams family here. I'm Uncle Fester. My better half is Morticia. Got a daughter Wednesday, and Pugsley does all the drops for me. So, in saying all that, we're gonna pop the cork on this one for our debut show. Yeah. And we might have a few drinks tonight. You don't have to get carried away with that. But like I said, if anybody's out there and you come across this, call in. We'll talk to you. You know, we might jump down your throat a little bit if we don't agree with it. But, you know, you might be able to teach us something, or we might be able to teach you something, or we both can learn something. So if you come across Blisterfish and call in, we will appreciate it. We'd like to have some, you know, intelligent banter and some humor. And, maybe there's not many people out there. So, all right. We have, looks like my co-host, old DB, is on. I'm looking for him.
What's happened?
Yeah, there you are, old DB. It's Uncle Fester.
All right, what's up, Fester? What's happening?
Nothing much, man. We're just trying to intro the debut Blisterfish show here on the Blisterfish Radio Network.
Right on. And here we are.
Got the crickets going, and we're deciding to just. I just introduced the show a little bit and asked if, if we had anybody, you know, if they're fishing around and they stumble upon us to give us a call, and I got this. Well, it didn't come through, is it? Yeah, okay.
Calls already? But...
Pugsley's not doing too good on the drops. I got Pugsley on the drops. And so some of these don't come through all the way. But, I just gave a little intro to kind of like maybe some of the stuff we'd be talking about and, just current events, you know, anything that's fucking up the world, you know, in my opinion, religion, big problem. Conspiracy theories, government corruption, just the whole gamut, you know, of everything that me and you talk about, you know, on a monthly basis when we talk or whatever, you know, and we get into all these different issues. Just,
yeah, yeah, for sure, man. You know, I mean, we're going to be here a while, and I think we'll be able to, you know, to talk about, you know, an expanse of whatever we feel like, man. I'm sure it's always going to be, a lot of times between you and I, it always seems to come back to religion, and I'm sure it will on the show. And, but, you know, but we got all kinds of good things to talk about, and you know, as it goes along, I'm sure, you know, and we'll bring some callers in and see what they have to add to things and see what we have to, you know, what to cover along the way. But I'm sure it's going to be quite a few different things, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, like I was saying, I'm not the most well-read guy.
7 years of college down the drain.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I know you've had a little more college than I have, and you're a little more well-read than I am. So, you know, I think we got a good blend of personalities and good blend of knowledge. Just I'm a little more on the religious end of it. You're a little more on the current events or, you know, political side of it. And I think we'll, you know, we kind of hit this thing coming from two different directions, and maybe one day we'll be able to come to a conclusion of what's going on here. But this for me,
I don't think that'll ever happen, man, but we'll give it a shot.
either that or the grave, one of the two. But
right.
Like I was, you know, talking to my better half earlier, Morticia, she was saying, you know, this for me is therapy. It really is therapy. So, I mean, if people call in, I mean, if you want to argue, that's fine. I mean, we'll argue to a certain extent, but we're not going to go on and on forever. But, you know, as we get more callers, we'll, you know, try to keep it somewhat civil. But, I mean, you know, and if you agree with us, that's cool, too. And, you know, maybe you can teach us something or you might learn something from us. So, you know, we're just all here to kind of put our two cents in and see what shakes out. But
I'm certainly hoping for some people that want to call in and, you know, obviously disagree with what we have to say. I think we're mainly in agreement. We don't always agree on everything, but I think in a lot of the things we just spoke about, we're mainly in agreement. So we'd love to hear some people call in and put their two cents and see what they have to say. And if it's not, you know, in accordance with what we're saying, then love to hear it, man. You know, as we go along, hopefully we'll get some people in and maybe try and sway us. Maybe they can sway you back to God, dude. Maybe they can convert you back as we go along.
I don't think that's happening anytime soon.
Well, you never know, man. Here we are.
Yeah.
This could be the radio show for that right there.
I don't know.
That alone would be worth a listen, man, just to have somebody create some sort of miraculous, some sort of incredible miracle to snap you out of your state.
I had 10 years of born again living in the 90s, and I had the truth. And I don't want the truth no more.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Oh, yeah, that's going to be fun, man. That's going to be fun, I tell you.
I'm loving sound bites, dude. I love that.
Yeah, it's like a toy, man. It's like a little kid at Christmas for me, because I've always liked, you know, mixing and doing sound stuff and all that. But apparently,
hey, what they're calling, dude, I can't see it on I'm on the iPad. I don't know if it requires Adobe Flash. Of course, it probably does. But let's give her call out or call-in number to anybody that wants to listen. And, you know, what's the call-in number?
Yeah, the call-in number is 646-595-4686. That's the call-in number.
Say that
so
one more time.
You can't. 646-595-4686. 4686 is the call-in number. So if you want to call in, that's great. We can go on and on with topics and stuff, and I can go into rants and friggin' blow my head off and just go crazy for an hour without anybody calling in. I mean, I don't, you know, we don't need to, but, you know, if I have to, I will.
You certainly seem to be in touch with your anger.
Yeah. That may be one of our shows, man.
Yeah, I get fucking pissed, dude. I've been this part of the show for me was my better half, Morticia. She encouraged me to get on the air and do this is because she got so sick of hearing listening to me bitch about everything all the time. She's like, you just got to get on there and start just venting some, venting some steam because you're driving me nuts. She agrees with a lot of the stuff I say, but I mean, she's a total heathen atheist. Left wing. She's total good girl like that. But she just, she gets sick of hearing me talk too, because I got a little, conspiracy theory libertarian in me a little bit, so I don't think she's down with that as much. So, just to get on here and be able to vent some steam and just really, if you've got to have a rant and just blow up, just to get it off your chest, it's
sure.
worth it,
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
Have a few beers and, relax.
Yeah.
And,
you drinking beer right now? What do you got? Oh, you cracking?
Yeah,
cracking.
Yeah, I got a couple beers. The tapper is not for some reason isn't working thing, but got the liquor on the rocks pour and we got the cork and yeah, it's the same thing.
Right
so.
On. I'm drinking some vodka, some Sky vodka with a little cran lemonade. It's pretty damn good.
Nice.
Ocean Spray cran lemonade
on
the rocks. It's pretty tasty.
I'm trying to
bring on summer, man. I'm drinking a summery
mm-hmm.
drink here, a foofy one. I'm trying to send out the vibes for summer.
Yeah, that sounds good. I actually got a beer. It's called Abita. Abita, and I had it down in New Orleans a few years ago, and it's called Abita Purple Haze, and it's raspberry flavored beer, so it's kind of a foo-foo, kind of a girly beer, I guess, but it's actually pretty dang good.
Yeah, right on.
I'm liking it a lot.
I like the microbrews, man. I'm all about the microbrews. When you can get a beer that's got 10% alcohol in it, that's all me, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. This isn't very strong. I think it's 4.5 or something. But it's down. It's the brewery is down there in New Orleans this.
You ever been on a real shrimp boat?
No, but I've been on a real big boat.
Down in the bayou. Yeah.
New Orleans.
It's gonna be fun, man. There's a lot of shit out there. You got all the
Hey, quit praising on me, would you?
Yeah. Small.
Yeah, man, I can't see the dashboard at all, so if we get any calls you won't be hearing from me if that happens. I don't know what's going on with my iPad. I'm gonna have to get my PC going for the show instead of the iPad. I got a feeling it requires Adobe. But I don't know.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing. Man. Craziest thing. I'm on the control board here with these the samples and stuff they got on the control board.
Right.
And for some reason, there's 10 samples showed up that I never put on here from another thing. That is totally weird.
Play
oh, yeah.
See what's up, man. Play them. See what's
it's
going on.
It's fucking crazy, man. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, this
one.
Is crazy.
Hey, quit praising on me, would you?
Yeah. Sorry, Mo. I don't mean to be playing around. And you got the old standby.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
I could ask you, as a born again Christian, you weren't Catholic, were you? What was when you went back in religion? What was it?
Yeah, that's where I started. Was I was raised
Catholic.
As a
really? So what do you
think
about this new pope then, man? What do you think about this new pope?
Well, as a Catholic back in the day, I probably would have been he's pretty good, cool, but I mean the way I look at it now, it's all a bunch of bullshit. I mean, I just think he knows he's on a sinking ship, and it's just, you got all these things going on with the Catholic Church. I mean, the one thing we were going to talk about, the story, I don't know if we'll talk about it later, was with the whole, with the delivery of the, with the cocaine they had going to the Vatican.
You know, the thing is with that, man, reading over it, it could have been anything. They found it in a post office in Germany, and it was addressed just to the Vatican City post office. So, you know, maybe it could have been anything, but inside it were 14 condoms filled with cocaine. And
Jesus
the press
Christ,
was,
isn't that a daisy?
Interested. Listen to this shit. Listen to what they call it. They called it an unremarkable amount of cocaine. It was 12 ounces, dude. 3/4 of a pound, and they're calling it unremarkable. So, you know, obviously
what is it, man?
Yeah, that's insane. You know, unremarkable amount. I could have an unremarkable fucking month with that.
Well, you know, they've gone, remarkably, but they're partied up, man. I bet they got a hot tub and a stripper's pole. And they got, maybe.
By stripper, do you mean 9-year-old little boy? Oh,
right.
Man.
Oh, the condoms are here with the cocaine. It serves two purposes. You know what, man? I think you're right. Even beyond everything, the Pope. I mean, some of the shit he's done has been pretty jaw dropping, man. He's like, you know, these people are coming up with these massive like growths on their faces and heads, and he's kissing them and washing their feet and stuff, you know. But I mean, of course, a certain amount. You're right, man. It's a sinking ship, and a certain amount of it is all show. All of it, I would think, at that point. It's like he's on a recruitment campaign, you know.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah,
I'm trying to be like how the church maybe should actually have been for the last 1,000 years. Hopefully some people will come back. You know.
My opinion is the whole thing is sinking, and I don't really expect, unless a new religion comes forth, I don't really think that anything that's existing is gonna make the next century or two, but we won't be around to see it, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's all about science, dude. I mean, science again and again keeps refuting everything that religion's ever said. I mean, they burned people at the stake for saying that the Earth rotated around the sun instead of vice versa, you know. I mean, it was and of course that was proven wrong by science, and now it's the big evolution creation debate. I don't even know why there is one, dude. How can there be a debate? You've got fossils that are hundreds of millions of years old, you know? You can see a lineage, clear lineage of many different species of different animals. I saw your comments on Facebook. Probably shouldn't mention the names, but that one dude that went to the Creation Museum and stuff, why don't you talk? That was interesting to me. Interesting part was how you put the quote by Neil deGrasse Tyson at the end about how our universe alone is our universe is 6,500 light years across, and we can see beyond that, which means that the universe is older than that.
The Crab Nebula is it's like the distance away. I think it's 6,500. Light years away, and they're saying that's when the universe began. Well, shit, that's like a drop in the bucket. That's just a stone skip away. I mean, we know of stuff that's they've detected stuff, a thousand times further than that, it's just ridiculous to, that was on the show on Sunday night.
Cosmos.
Yeah, that's what it was.
He started trying to argue with me. You know,
what's
it's
that?
About time. It's about time they brought something like that back again on TV, where they're finally bringing, clear talking points about how absolutely wrong the Bible is and the creationism is. And you use that right on that dude who went to that creationism museum. And you know,
he went to
he
both.
Went there, and, yeah, and just
he went to the Natural History Museum, and then he went to the Creation Museum.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it happened, but he was swayed. Well, you know what? I don't know how.
Yeah.
I know how it happened because he wanted it to be that way.
Right.
So he believed the Creation Museum, and you know, nothing I'm going to say is going to sway him. I don't think because he's, you know, he's basically brainwashed. I mean,
yep.
You know, you give him straight.
That's really what it is. I think anything that you do for, you know, repetitively over and over and over again is going to end up making you brainwashed, no matter what it is, man. TV, religion. If you're going to church once a week, twice a week, you're doing 2-3, you know, activities with the church every single week, you're reading the Bible,
yeah.
It's over and over and over again, man, it's going to brainwash you. It's just, that's just the way it is. And you're absolutely right. They were hoping beyond proof that actually there's some sort of thing going on with this creationist museum, you know. Isn't there a part of that museum where they show, like, dinosaurs with Adam and Eve or something?
Yeah, dinosaurs with people. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Incredible, man.
Yeah, it's really sad. And you know, and to me, it borders on child abuse, really raising kids like that to be that ignorant. And I don't know how people can get away with it in this, you know, the modern age we live in. I mean, even the most unknowledgeable people, you know, kind of know that people didn't live with dinosaurs. I mean, you know, it's just
some
it's
believe
goofy.
It though, man. Some believe it because of a book written in the Iron Age, you know, 2,000 mm-hmm. years ago. By some dudes that still, you know, I mean, that's it. People are so devoted to this one piece of, well, maybe it was, you know, maybe it was written by God. Some people believe it was God's words, you know. And if that's the case, man, I mean, man, what a fucked up God we have. I mean,
the Bible mentions unicorns
like 9 times. You
yeah.
know, mentions dragons. It mentions nymphs.
Love the Leviathans.
Yeah,
there's just so many goofy things.
So that means... that God's just straight out crazy just from that alone. Obviously those things don't exist. I guess if he was a supreme being, he could make them exist, you know? you know, well, let's see it then, you know?
Well, I actually heard this one thing. I can't remember where I heard it from, but it was like everything that anybody has ever thought of, even if it doesn't exist on the earth, exists in some alternate reality. There's no new thought. And now that's pretty fucking crazy and deep. So somewhere unicorns exist on some other realm or some other planet.
Well,
you know,
in people's imaginations, which maybe that's a different, maybe that's another world of some kind. Man, I mean, you're talking about, I don't know enough about it, but you're giving that string theory stuff where they're talking about you have like 9 parallel universes and us being like a hologram in this universe from a different parallel. You know, that's way beyond me. But certainly there's some things that are. That we'll never understand everything ever.
Yep.
But as
I'm completely operational and all my circuits are functioning perfectly.
Wow! I feel good.
As you understand more and more, man, you know, a lot of stuff's going to go away. You know, it's going to drop off, man. The Earth. You know, the sun does not revolve around the Earth. You know. And we were not Adam and Eve was if Adam and Eve were two, man, we'd all be retards, which maybe we all are. I don't know, man. You know, but genetically, we'd be all mutated by now and shit. If that's the case.
I always love those when they go through the Ark story and everything was destroyed and they just had one of each kind on Noah's Ark. You know, the Noah's Ark movie's out right now, and I'm always like. I'm always like, okay, the Ark rested on Mount Ararat in the Middle East, and I'm like, I was always like, well, I'm like, how did kangaroos get to, you know, Australia or something that's, you know, on an island country, how did that get there from the Middle East and from a mountain in the Middle East? I mean, it just doesn't make no sense. I mean,
Noah's Ark seems to be the big one for everybody, and they seem to try and prove how Noah's Ark is around. But I'll tell you, here's the perfect example. There's like over 1 million species of bugs, you know, of insects. There may be close to like 10 million. There's tons of them. And there's one bug, the only where it's found, is in the caves in Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico, below 1,500 feet, I believe it is. Below a certain, it's way the fuck in these caves, you know, way down in. So what the Bible's saying is that Noah or one of his people on the boat went into this cave, went all the way down, went did some spelunking, grabbed a male and a female bug, brought it back to the ship, and once the, you know, flooded, once the floods receded, then we'll go back and bring it all the way back and put it back to where it was in the first place.
Well, they must have, they must have did it, because I don't think they believe that species can change into another species. Like, they don't think that we came, they don't think we came from, you know, fish and reptiles and, you know, and then simians and all that, or what, you know, they don't think we evolved from all those simple things. So they think everything is just an adaptation to something, but not a total change in species. They don't believe, like, species change. I mean, I think that's what they believe, the people that so that they had to say, they have to save, like, everything. They had to have everything on the ark unless it could live in water.
Right. Then they could just swim around. But you know what? I'm going back to it again. It's science, man. It's science disproving genetics. Are disproving all that. There's no way that that could happen. There's just no fucking way you could get two of everything and have what we've got today on the face of this earth. And the other thing about, no, this is the thing that kills me, man, is about God. You're talking about God, you know, oh, he's a loving God. He loves his children. He loves everything about him. But fuck you, I'm going to kill every single person on this earth except for those people on that boat. I mean, God is the biggest, if he is actually true, he's the God, biggest mass murderer in the history of the world, ever.
Yeah.
I mean, you think how many times in the Bible that's happened, where he's wiped out the entire population of the earth, man, or portions of it, Sodom and Gomorrah, or, you know, I mean, it's... You know, he's wiping out cities. He's laying waste to massive amounts of people. The firstborn child in Egypt, man. He killed every firstborn child in Egypt. He's the biggest mass murderer in the history of the world. I mean, that's the thing that trips me out. How can you pray to that? How can you, you know? I mean, in people, obviously, when you're religious, you don't think of it that way. But that's the reality of it, man. That's he's wiping people out left and right, you know?
Unless you're Jewish, you're kind of fucked, you know?
Marge, are we Jewish?
No, Homer.
Woohoo!
little anti-Semitism there for you.
Woohoo!
Right, the Jews, I guess, don't have to care about. But, you know, that's Christian. But that's any religion, man. I mean, everybody thinks that the other portion of the world is going to go to hell except for them. But, you know, you look, and I was actually talking about this with my daughter. She's 9 years old. And we've got Amish neighbors, dude. And I was using them as an example. They're Christians, but they think everybody else is going to hell except for them. You know, even Christians. Mormons, the same way. In effect, Mormons believe what? Only like 120 or something are going to go to heaven, and everybody else is going to hell.
What is it, 120,000 or something?
Oh, it is that many? Well, it's a certain point.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's 100-something thousand, I believe.
So they're like only a certain portion of you Mormons come in, and the rest of you fuck off. We don't care that you've given a massive portion of your check to the church every year. You're not going to make it in. You know, and it's every single religion is like that. Islam, you know, they're going up to get their virgins, but not anybody else. Everybody else is going to hell, you know.
Oh,
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, Islam is like, just because it's newer, they've gotten away with, you know, just more and absolute bloodshed and just insane. But, I mean, I think Christianity is more acceptable to us because we're from here, but I mean, when you look at it from their end of it, Christianity is ridiculous, but I mean, Islam is ridiculous to us over here. I mean, it's just, you know, it's absolutely.
But you know, when you think about it, all three of them derive their Abrahamic religions, man. They all come from Abraham. And then so that's how similar they are, man. They all believe in Abraham, and the Christianity, Judaism, and Islam all
spring from Abrahamic religion, from the belief of Abraham, and
wow.
you know, and from that point, and then from there they kind of diversify. You know,
yeah.
then they're all, you know, we believe all the same as you, but only to a certain point. Then you guys are crazy. You know,
yeah.
we agree with that portion of it, but the rest of it, you guys are just crazy. There's something wrong with you guys. Our stuff,
let's
what we believe in is way, way more accurate.
Let's check out our action on the phone lines in Dearborn. Nothing. Crickets. Yeah, I always,
well,
you know, we lived in Dearborn for years, so I was like, you know, always kind of, you know, apprehensive about ripping on Islam because we lived in Dearborn and we had, you know, quite a few people living close by us that were, you know, Arab descent or Chaldean or whatever. So, you know, even though
Islamic drive-bys, man.
Yep. Yeah. Did I ever tell you that story when the whatchamacallit church, the Westboro Baptist Church was picketing a big mosque over there in Dearborn? We went out there, me and a buddy of mine, and we started filming them and everything with our cameras and stuff, and they had they were being followed by FBI agents.
Really?
And they had they videoed. Yeah, we took. Yeah, they were there filming us. We were filming them, but they were taking pictures of us. They took pictures of our license plate. The FBI agents. They took they looked in our cars. They took video of us. They took pictures of our faces, us being there. And I went up to one of the agents. I said, "Why are you guys treating us like, you know, we're doing anything wrong?" They said, "Well, these guys, we're here to protect them because most of the violence goes against them." The Westboro Church, whatever, they're trying to incite everybody, and, you know, they have the right to be here, whatever, it's a public protest or whatever, and so they're watching us, and then they took pictures of all our license plates and everything. I couldn't believe it.
Jeez,
so they were protecting them, because they've had death threats, you know, and all that. Well, the guy died finally, the name just died, but, you know, he wasn't even out there, it was all younger people, but they had all their stupid signs, you know, just inciting, like, inciting Muslims, you know, Muhammad was a pedophile, all that, you know, all that kind of stuff, and just, it's just insane, and we
you
went
know,
out there just kind of...
interesting, dude, for as much as they go around, I'm so shocked that no violence has been perpetrated against those guys, you know. I think they've gotten into some minor scuffles, but nothing serious, as vile as they've been, man, and you know,
yeah.
all under the... under the protection of religion as their reasoning for doing it, people really haven't gone off on them, you know? You'd think at least somebody
yeah.
would have just, you know,
oh, yeah.
enough
yeah.
is enough and just told them somehow. Right.
Yeah, I tell you, it's pretty crazy when you go out there and see something like that. It's really... It really shows you how people's minds can be warped, and they just, I mean, just some of the stuff they believe. But the thing with the Westboro Baptist Church, from what I understand or believe, they're actually following the Bible more closely than most normal Christians. They're, because I mean, you know, well they are. I mean, they're just fanatical. They're fanatical about it. But when you follow the Bible closely, you're going to be nuts. You're going to be doing stupid, crazy stuff. I mean, they just, you know, they
people to death on Sundays for working, dude, and you end up,
yeah.
You know, you know.
I mean,
you end up,
everything you do is wrong. I mean,
ten shillings, shackles, whatever the hell the money was back then. I mean, that's a passage in the Bible, you know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if you follow it literally, I mean, slavery is okay in the Bible. You know, I mean, it's you know, rape is even okay to a certain extent when it comes to slaves and selling your daughters and, you know, I mean, it's reprehensible, dude. I mean, it's disgusting. And the thing is this is, I mean, I can see how religion has done good for some people, you know, but in the end, it's kind of like an imaginary refuge. And if that's where you have to go, then that's cool, I guess. I mean, if that's where you need to go to make your mind better, then so be it. But don't force it on me, you know. Don't force it on the TV or into politics or wow. onto a fucking street corner saying God hates fags, you know. You live the way you want, that's cool. But once that starts infringing on me, fuck you, you know. And I'll start telling you why I don't like it. I mean, that's where I'm at with it anymore. I used to be kind of a closet atheist where I was scared to even tell people of it. And now I'm not so much. I'm not out there all, you know, proselytizing atheism or anything, you know.
Yeah.
But if people ask, I say it now. And I was really hesitant to do so in the past, you know. But I've gotten to a point where it's like, fuck it. I'm not the crazy one.
We're not compelled to go out and proselytize because it's just a lack of belief in gods. We don't,
right.
you know, you're not motivated really to. I mean, the only thing that motivates me is seeing the world be destroyed through,
right.
you know, religious. I mean, people that are religious nuts. I mean, we had a president, you know, two terms ago that was, I mean, the guy thinks God's talking to him. I mean, it's nuts,
yeah.
you know. I was talking about Bush Jr., you know. I mean, it's just,
yep.
you know. I mean, when you got somebody in office like that that's, you know, one of the most powerful people in the world and the guy's a dipshit and he thinks God's talking to him, you know, through a book or whatever, you're, you know, boy, we're in big trouble. I mean, we're just as bad as radical. What's that?
I was just saying, that's just scary as a motherfucker. The dude's got his hand on the fucking the nuclear button, man, on Armageddon, and he's telling God's talking to him.
Ready?
Holy.
Yeah.
Aim! Fire!
I mean, it is crazy. You know, you got a guy like that that's running the country, and, it, you know, he thinks God's talking to him, and... It's scary. I mean, to me, at that point, then we're as bad as, you know, radical Islam. I mean, you know, but we're just on the other end of the scale.
You're right. In a lot of ways, there's so many fundamentalist Christians that are easily as radical as fucking the Taliban. You know, it's not even funny, especially in terms of women's rights issues. You know, I mean, they treat women like shit, dude. They like fucking secondhand citizens. The far extreme Christian right treats women like dogs, dude. They don't want them to do anything but be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, and that's it for their lives, you know. And it's crazy. I mean, they might as well be putting a fucking sheet back on them and not let them drive, you know.
Oh yeah, it's
you know? I mean. Just like fucking Saudi Arabia or whatever, man. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, it may not be as apparently radical where you know, these women have to wear sheets in front of them. But, you know, when you're talking about reproductive health and shit like that, I mean, that's crazy. That's nobody's fucking business but your own, man. And that's really where religion is at its worst, is when it butts into other people's business. You know, fuck.
Yep.
So
I know.
I mean,
Islam is more than butting into your business. I mean, well, even in, you know, just Christianity has overstepped its bounds in America so much because it's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, we're not a Christian nation. We're a secular nation. We always have been. And you can't get it through these fucking numbskulls' head. They're so thick-headed that, you know, that their religion is not our state religion. I mean, you know.
Right.
How many times does this have to be fought in court and go over and over and over it? I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know. It drives
you
crazy.
Yeah, and you get these crazy.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You get these crazy fuckers that end up in politics, dude. And I was talking to my dad about that, and I really think that seems to be where the crazy fucks are being drawn nowadays is rated, especially everywhere, even the local level, but federally, the crazy, crazy fucks are being drawn into politics. I mean, it's almost like a prerequisite. You got to be a crazy motherfucker somehow to go into politics to, you know, especially as a Republican, a right-wing religious Republican, you know, I mean, that Gohmert dude, did you see that Louis Gohmert guy? He's still fighting the point of the separation of religion, of church and state means that religion should have a hand in government. That's his definition. Mm-hmm. Separation, you know. And that dude, he's a state representative, man. He's a representative in Congress. And Bachman and And, you know, you could see the crazy fox, dude, in there.
Yeah.
Have you seen Bachman's husband, dude, Michelle Bachman's husband?
No.
Have you seen that guy? He
no.
is so obviously gay, it's not even funny. He runs this,
really?
Like, anti-gay clinic in Minnesota, and he's kind of an older dude, a bigger dude. He's got gray hair, and they've shown him dance a couple times. And, you know, man, I'm not an expert, but I can tell when someone's clearly gay, and that motherfucker is gay as gay can be, as the day is long, which I don't have any problem with. But the fucker's running an anti-gay clinic in Minnesota, you know? And his wife is all about Christian ideals and everything. And that's what it always comes back to, man, making it hypocrites of it. I mean, you know, you can't keep preaching it.
No, you're doing it all wrong.
I like all these guys that have the anti-gay classes and stuff. They run these kids guys
right.
through and stuff, trying to beat the gay out of them. It's so stupid, you know. It's I think they finally gave up on it. They know it doesn't work. You know,
there's
like
still a lot
they
of
keep thinking
there,
it's,
man.
It's like a lifestyle choice. You know, they just think it's oh, you just choose to be like that, and we can just beat it out of you. You know, it's just
it's
so stupid.
Right. Yeah, the ones that surprise me are these conservative gay guys. How does that work?
There's one right there.
Yeah.
There's one right there getting whipped.
He's like, I'm not gay anymore, at least for right now. Let me go.
I'm not gay. I'm not gay. Please leave me alone. I'll vote Republican. I'll vote red.
It's like the modern Inquisition. They're in a fucking Iron Maiden.
Sticking spikes into their
pee. No, I'm not.
Sticking a spike up their ass. You know. They're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
It's gotten so crazy,
while that's going on with the Republican men, their wives and girlfriends are with the liberal guys doing this.
While they're busy talking to their constituents, their wives are doing all the Democrats.
All the hardcore Republican guys, Republican women are getting with the liberal guys.
Well, you know, man, they're so enthralled, they're so, you know, crazy about gay people, man. They end up, half of them end up being gay anyway. I mean, you talk about these preachers like Ted Haggard in Denver. He had, I think, the largest church either in Colorado, or definitely in Denver. I was thinking of maybe the whole state, but super mega church. You know, I think it held 15,000 or something, like the massive like arena that they would go into every. You know, and that dude ended up doing cocaine and meth with male prostitutes in Denver and ended up being caught for the whole shebang, man. And he was so vehemently anti-gay, because, you know, religiously on the pulpit, anti-gay, and there's a perfect example of crazy motherfuckers that those are the ones that end up being the gayest of them all, man.
His wife stood by him, too. She stood by him. I don't think she left him. And she might have now, but I don't think she did it. I think she might still be with him.
Well,
you know
why?
That's probably just,
you know why?
All about
he
money.
He had the gay whipped out of him.
Oh yeah, I know.
The gay whipped right out of him, man.
That works really well. I don't think so.
You know, I mean, I forgot how that all went down. I think he got caught in a motel room with a male prostitute. I think they're totally fucking smoking pipes of crystal meth.
And
then there's who's that one dude? He was from the South, and I can't remember his name. He was an older dude. He had red hair. He looked like a little fucking leprechaun, and he was like crazy anti-gay. And he
Is
got
that
caught.
Peter Popoff.
Was that it?
Was
he got caught in Europe with this like 20-year-old guy, and he said he was his luggage handler. Oh no, that's my dude handling my luggage.
Yeah, he was handling his luggage all right.
Hell yeah, it was. It's a pole and two bowling balls, man. But you know, I was like,
whoops.
The dude in Miami or in Florida, Mark Craig or something. I think he totally anti-gay with his politics. Right? He was completely gay and ended up quitting. He ended up like dating the pages out of in Congress. And then what about that dude in Idaho, trying to flirt with a guy in the bathroom stall in the airport, Mr. Anti-Gay.
Oh, that there's been so many of them.
Oh man, over and over, man.
I think what it is when you have that in there, you have that latent homosexual in you, but you've chosen the religious lifestyle or, you know, calling for your job or whatever. I think it just, you fight it so much harder, you know, you're a hypocrite, of course. And it's just like, you know, the people that are fighting it the hardest, those are always the people that are, you know, really the latent homosexuals, you know, the ones that are like the hardest against it. Because there's a lot of preachers and stuff that don't really fight hard against it. There's a lot of moderate preachers and pastors out there that don't really talk about it much. Or, you know, the ones that I always think that the ones that fight it the hardest that are real crazy about it are closet homosexuals.
Yeah.
You know
what, dude? I totally agree with you. And I think that's across all society, man. I think, you know, these dudes that are out beating up, you know, gay guys on the street or whatever,
mm-hmm.
they're actually gay. They're gay and they either can't come to grips with it or something's fucked up in their lives where that they're not beating the shit out of that other gay dude. They're trying to beat the gay out of themselves, man, you know, and obviously it ain't going anywhere,
well,
you know.
You always focus most on what your own problems are in others. You know, that's just a common, I think, psychological, you know, a fact that most people that focus on one thing really hard and they really concentrate on it, they rally against it all the time, that's a problem they have within themselves the most. So when I see somebody that's a gay basher and you know, proselytizer and just, you know, saying all, you know, just you got the one guy, oh boy, we talked about the story before, the guy that when he was in trial in New York, he was going over to Africa, and he was over there. He was trying to get. What was the story? I was just talking to you about this like 2 weeks ago about the guy going over there and what was he doing? That the pastor.
Yeah.
Now he's on trial in New York. Oh,
right.
Goodness gracious! I had my other computer going here.
I don't know the guy's name, but
the guy went over to
in Africa. I think it's Uganda where they made it illegal to be gay, isn't it, Uganda? And then Obama sent a rep over top, but they're shooting gay people in hospital beds that are dying of HIV.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
And this guy was over there and
throwing people in jail for it though. I mean,
that's what he was. This guy was over there inciting it. He was inciting people to, you know, basically kill them and, you know, imprison them and, you know, just. He was bringing over some kind of program. I'll have to try to find the story and for next time, and we'll bring that up.
But you know what really surprised me? How of course it goes back to religion, but you know, African Americans, black people, you know, that so many of them are against gay people. So many of them, and to me, it just mirrors this whole fucking civil rights thing, man. I mean, now it's not the African American; it's the gay dude back to, you know, back of the bus, drink a different fountain, you know, use a different bathroom, you know.
Oh yeah.
And you don't get the same rights, separate but equal. And I'm just shocked at how many African Americans are against homosexuality, because it's to me it's a civil rights issue that's the same as the whole black right issue back in the early 60s, you know, early mid 60s. So
it's totally
I'm shocked by it.
Same,
you know,
thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't think so though. Of course, you know why? Because it goes back to religion, man. You know, you're gay, you're going to hell because the Bible says so. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where it all is, man. That's the whole reason why people are being denied being married, and that's fucking crazy.
What is that?
Why would they even allow the government's telling people they can't get married? I mean, the fuck is that? The government is telling people they can't like, you know, legally declare their love.
Well, that's what they want. They want us to be a theocracy. You know, they want us to, they want the government to be in bed with religion, you know, and they want it to be the Christian religion. And I don't want it to be any religion. We should be a secular state, you know, totally uninvolved. Religion should have nothing to do with our government. You know, it doesn't have really... Yeah, the Constitution really doesn't have anything about religion in it. So, I mean, we shouldn't have anything.
Separation of church and state, man. It lines it right out. There is a separation of church and state right in the Constitution. So... Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's the founding fathers said it right off the fucking bat that the two do not intermingle, and that's sure as fuck is going on right now, man. I mean,
I think we should have a new rule: if any public official gets caught promoting religion within public policy, he gets this treatment right here.
Ready, aim, fire.
There goes Pat Robertson. He just went down.
Pat Robertson. That guy has gone off the fucking deep end. Have you seen the
he's crazy.
He is so crazy, man. And
he's so...
The 700 Club, dude, is on like the ABC Family Channel at night.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what the fuck is this on the Family Channel for? This is about as far as away from family viewing as you can fucking get.
You know
he's talking about sending assassins down to kill Chavez when he was still president, you know, alive, and, you know, gay people causing Katrina, and just fuck crazy shit.
I know.
Causing natural disasters and shit.
And even as crazy as he is, I still seen a video the other day of him on there ripping on... He was ripping on Ken Ham about the debate with what's his nuts, the big
Bill
debate
Nye.
He had with Bill Nye, and he was like you're making, you know, Pat Robertson said this. I mean, the Prince of Darkness. He said you're making Christians look bad. He goes, you know, anybody that knows anything about the continental shelf and oil drilling and this and that. He goes, you know, you're going down hundreds of thousands of years, and he knows all about oil because, you know, he's got oil wells and diamond mines in Africa. The guy's got his hands in everything. He's like a total evil emperor. And even he was ripping on Ken Ham. He goes, you know, the earth is billions of years old. He goes, I don't know why why don't they just give that up and quit trying to fight it? Even he said that. So he's given up on the whole.
Yeah, he's crazy as a motherfucking loon, dude. I mean, he's as insane as they come too. And it, you know, I mean, we could do a whole show just on crazy shit that he said. Maybe I'll do that. I'll start putting together like 10 or 12 crazy-ass fucking shit that Pat Robertson said in the last year or two, man. That'd take up just about a whole show in itself. It'd be funny as fuck because he's so crazy.
Yeah.
We'll
have like the top 10 list, you know. You could have like, what was the one thing you said before? That he did when he went down to, he was saying we should invade somewhere or something. I can't remember.
Oh, he was talking about Chavez, or is that Chavez, right? The old leader of Venezuela, you know, that hated the U.S. Is that Chavez? Yeah, and he was campaigning for the U.S. to send down a hit squad and assassinate him.
So you could go like this. It could be like this. You go. Number 10, send assassins down to kill Chavez.
Right, exactly. Let's do that. I'll get some shit together on Robertson, man, because that guy is fucking
terrible. And you got that going on. Or instead of send a hit squad, we can just do the old, the easy way.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
That's a little bit long there.
That one's a little long.
That's all right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's funny, is all these guys that are the most sadistic fucking religious leaders, that are the most bloodthirsty, telling us where to send soldiers, who to kill, who should we be fighting, who should we be exterminating, and he's a religious fucking leader in this country. He's supposed to be a peaceful person, and he's got diamond mines in Africa, and he's got, you know, got all this.
I didn't know that shit, dude. I didn't know he was invested in all that.
Which, yeah, he's got all...
with Chavez, because Chavez was, you know, he's nationalizing all the oil down there, I believe, and he took all the oil away from all the oil companies and shit. So that
by cutting in on Robertson's
out.
Action.
Yep.
Cutting in on Robertson's action.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yep. That makes that whole,
I mean,
that makes sense now when he wanted to send a hit team, hit squad down to assassinate him, man. He's like, you're taking my fucking oil away, man. I don't think so. Go kill his ass.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it's crazy, man. I tell you, these guys are just the hypocrites, and it's hard to bring. You know, you bring this stuff out, and you're trying to tell people that are believers or Christians or whatever, or religious people, and they're like, "Well, you're an atheist or you're an agnostic or whatever. You just got sour grapes. So you're just trying to make them look bad." And you're not trying to make them look bad. I mean, this stuff that's happened in the Catholic Church, all the atrocities with that. I mean, you know, you know a lot of stuff about Mother Teresa, and, I mean, it's just, you know, it's crazy.
Well, she got, you know, she got millions upon millions of dollars, and she sent it back to the church, almost all of it back to the church, instead of helping the fucking destitute that she lived with, dude. She tens of millions of dollars that she received from charitable organizations, and almost all of it went back to it. Fucking church has got like gold on the ceilings and shit, you know, and fucking, you know, while these people are dying of starvation in the streets and shit. That's a whole epoxy. Here's a story. It's on rawstory.com. I like it. They're pretty independent in terms of their news overall, but they cover some religious stuff and atheism stuff. There's a story here about a Virginia Christian school banned an 8-year-old girl because her tomboy looks aren't biblical.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
So this little girl, did you see that little girl? I mean, she's got chubby cheeks and short hair, and she wears, like, sports shirts. She looks like a little boy, you know? Which some girls like that. And they kicked her out of school for it. Just for appearances, man. This is, you know, it, the scope is amazing. It's all the way through, you know, world leaders all the way down to your local high school and how religion poisons people, all the way down to just as simple as a little girl's appearance, you know, all the way up to this dude's taking fucking oil from me, you know, have God command someone to go kill him or whatever, you know. I mean, it's crazy, just the vast scope. And you talk about, like, the Catholic Church. I mean, last I heard, maybe they're divesting, but they were the largest landholder in the world. Single landholder was the Catholic Church in terms of private entities. And, of course, they're one of the richest by far entities in the world. And you just don't know how much they have, you know, because they don't have to fucking report it. And their bank has been so fucking corrupt. They've been laundering money. The Catholic Church, right out of Vatican City, is laundering fucking drug money. And now lately there's two guys from the church that are finally coming up against charges in Italy for laundering drug money for like a decade, for like 10 years. They're laundering drug money, dude. The men of God laundering drug money, you know?
Yeah.
It's incredible. My thing is this, out of all, the thing that infuriated me and really drove home the point of atheism to me in particular was the pedophilia cases, dude. Vast worldwide complicity. I mean, they are the largest, they being the Catholic Church, is the largest pedophilia ring in the world. And there's no fucking way, if there was a God in heaven, that he, if free will or not, that he would allow that shit to happen for as long as it did to as many people as it did, man.
That one story, the girls in Cleveland there, where they were, that guy had him down in the basement forever. And I mean,
Ariel Castro, I think his name was, something like that. Ariel Castro or something like that. Mm-hmm. But So he, you know, he was blessing God the day before he got arrested. God is a wonder, you know, wonders. I mean, you know, when you look at it, like John Wayne Gacy, dude, I mean, you know, the killer clown, he killed, like, I think it was close to 30 little boys and young men and stuff, and he was reciting Bible verses while he was fucking killing them and dismembering them live. You know, he'd fucking,
yeah.
he'd start dismembering while they're still alive, and he fucking buried them all in his basement. He had this, I read a book about him, man, and he had this crawl space in his basement, and he had, like, these vertical grave sites for the you know, dismembered bodies and shit, and he had, like, 25 of them under his house and shit. And that motherfucker would recite Bible verses while he was dismembering people, and you know, he'd be, like, fucking them up the ass and choking them at the same time and reciting Bible verses and shit. You know, that's all from fucking religion, dude. From religion. That all stems from some fucked up thing that happened to him while he was a devoted follower of Christ.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
You still there, Dennis?
Yeah, I'm here. That sounded a little funky,
okay.
Huh?
Yeah, I just heard. I heard some.
It's like
some
an echo.
Popping or something.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
There's a little Forrest Gump there.
The thing is, you look at somebody that's religious, and there's so many just plain everyday. You know, you ask somebody that's super religious, well, would you let your children go rape somebody? Well, no. Would you let them go kill someone? No. Or harm them? No. Well, fuck, you've got better parenting skills than God then. You know, you care more about your children than God does. You got better fucking parenting skills. You're not allowing your children to do something that the all supreme being is willing to do. You know, let your kids go off and kill, rape, torture, and murder other people. You know, man, he needs to work on his fucking parenting skills, dude. He needs a little fucking something.
Oh yeah.
If we're all his children, then he's done a fucked up job, that's for sure. So,
I agree.
It's like
Hello?
Crazy. It's you there? All
I'm
right.
Just getting some interference.
Oh, all right. I'm hearing things clearly. So,
yeah. It looks like we had a caller, but I didn't.
Well, just bring them on if I'm babbling or something, dude. You know, if you get a caller, and you want, you know, just tell me to hold on a minute.
Yeah, that might be you. Maybe that's you. Because on the switchboard says one caller. That must be you.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know, man. Sometimes, you know, when I was doing shows previously, man, callers would show up and not call. I don't know what the fuck happened, but it would show up on the switchboard if someone called when, you know, no number showed up on, you know, waiting to talk. So I don't know what the hell that is. But,
yeah.
You got any number of live? Are there any live listeners at all out there? Did any pop into the show and pop back out or anything? I can't see any of those numbers. So usually there's kind of a running total somewhere. I'm not sure.
I haven't seen anything.
Or maybe no, actually that populates afterward. It tells how many were listening and stuff. But yeah,
okay.
So I don't know. You know, this has been my first show in about probably almost 3-4 years, dude. It's been a long time since I've done any shows on Blog Talk. So. It's good to get back on, and fucking like you said, it's good therapy, dude. It's cheap therapy.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It gets a lot of anger out and stuff, and you kind of get some like-minded people to call in and talk about stuff. But we're not opposed to having somebody call in with a counter opinion about stuff. I mean, we're not fans of religion. I think we've made that known here in the first hour, You know, not so much you, Dennis, but I went through it. I mean, I came through it. I was raised Catholic I practiced it until I was probably 15 or whatever. Went up to confirmation, which is 14, I believe, and then fell away from that for about 5 or 6 years, and then I became a born-again Christian when I was 21. July 23rd, 1989. Remember the day. Went to a Southern Baptist church when I was in the Air Force. Down in South Carolina, got saved, got on my knees, the whole thing, spoke in tongues, went through the whole thing, lived like that for 10, 12 years through the 90s, and in about close to 2000, I really, something started just eating away at me, and something wasn't sitting right, and I did this, one of the stupidest things you can do as a Christian or somebody really that's really religious. I started questioning things, and I started reading a lot, and I started looking at things, and I started investigating history, and I started, you know, actually not just reading the Bible, but reading who wrote it or who didn't write it, what it was used for, how it was made, and I started getting into all that. You know, I got back talking with you in the mid-2000s, or, two, you know, 05, 06, around there, and probably 06, 07, 08, in there, I started, you know, watching things like, you know, a lot of atheist, you know, movies, and like, what's the one, Zeitgeist, I think I've seen that when that first came out.
Yeah.
Just all that stuff, and a lot of the different books I started getting into, I just cast my nets really far, and just started reading a lot of stuff, and looking at things, looking at, you know, at Christopher Hitchens' books, and stuff like that, and I just, you know, everything two and two came together, and I figured out I was four, and I just knew I was just on the wrong side, man. I was on the wrong side of history. I knew as a Christian right wing, you know, type guy, I was going to be on the wrong side of history in the next 100 years, you know. And I never want to be the person that's lagging behind history, you know.
Yeah.
I like to be ahead of the game.
It doesn't fucking add up, man. After a while, doesn't add up. As much as you wanted to, and where you can put your worries and everything in a nice little basket that some imaginary figure in the sky will take care of for you, you know, as long as you believe a certain belief. But it just doesn't fucking add up, man. I mean, it's definitely convenient. The thing with religion, man, you know, it hits you when you're at your worst. Usually you get religion when you're fucking rock bottom, man.
Yep.
You know,
well, that's what happened to me.
Insidious. That's almost like a drug dealer, you know. Oh, you got kicked out of your apartment. You're living underneath this fucking bridge. And, well, why don't you buy, you know, 20 spot of heroin from me? You'll love it, and you won't have any more worries after that, you know. That's insidious to me, to hit someone at the rock fucking bottom. You know, maybe it's there to help people. You know, I to some people it does, but it just doesn't fucking add up, man. It just doesn't. I mean, what they're telling you is that would be nice. But, you know, and the thing is most devoutly religious people don't want to see the side that doesn't make sense, you know, which is right there in front of them. They just don't want to see it, you know.
Yeah. I've come to the point in my life, and you're like the same as me, Dennis. We're both in our mid-40s, and I've come to the point now where I'm sick of screwing around. You know, I want to know the truth. You know, I don't want to know a fairy tale, or if something's not completely true, I don't want to live by it. I don't want to live by some oath or whatever if it's not true. I want to know what's the truth. Did this stuff really happen? Is this just made up? Is this just dogma made up to try to control people, which is what it is, just like all religions. And I'm just to the point now where I'm sick of it. I mean, I know some people need it to get through the day, but in the end, you're basically just buying your time, because when it wears off, then you're in the same shit you were. You're in the same situation. You know, you haven't grown. You basically stunt your growth is what you do. Instead of growing up and getting out of your, getting over your weaknesses and everything, all you do is put a Band-Aid on it and you hide from it for years. That's what happened to me. I basically stunted my intelligence and my mental growth for like 10 or 12 years by being a born-again Christian. And I really stunted myself. If something good happened to me, well, God's blessing me. If something bad happened to me, oh, it's the devil coming after me now. And now I got to pray more, and I got to, you know, I got to get in my Bible more, and I got to get more dedicated. And, you know,
instead of it being like in those two examples, being like something good happening, all this guy, it should be like, man, I made that happen. That thing that was good in my life is there because I made it happen. You know, or something bad that happened. For a religious person, it's Satan. It's not, oh man, I'm making some fucking wrong choices. I'm hanging out with the heroin dealer down in the corner, and some bad things are happening. It's got to be Satan. You know, mm-hmm. It's not that I chose to hang out with this motherfucker hanging out of the corner dealing drugs. It's got to be Satan. Satan's the reason why I things are so bad. Not that I made an actual choice in my head to go walk down and hang out with that dude or whatever, a bad influence in your life that you bring into your life that allows you to you know, have bad things happen to you, you know. It's all about your fucking choices, man. It's about the choices you make in your life that bring you to the spot that you're at this very moment. You know what, dude? I mean, the choices that we made have brought us to this point that we're on the fucking air talking about, you know, the ridiculousness of religion, and it brought us to this very moment of us two here together talking about it. And with religion,
I couldn't have did
it's
this.
Not about that. It's not.
I couldn't even have did this 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been ready. Everything, you know, comes together in the time, you know, when it's supposed to, you know. Because you know me, I mean, we've talked on and off over the last few years, and I've probably been a practicing atheist for about 4 or 5 years, but I think about 2 or 3 years ago, it really hit me to where the last little bit of the Christian guilt faded away, to where I knew I was right, and I knew, and Christians would call that being turned over to a reprobate mind. But it's really not. I mean, what it is the brainwashing is finally, you know, relieving your conscience. You're not constantly feeling guilty about everything or feeling bad. I the point now, I feel like I'm like living more calmly and more guilt free than I ever had in my life. I don't sit there and sweat every little thing I do wrong. If I see a gorgeous chick on the street walking and I stare at her tits, I don't sit there and beat myself up about it all night and ask God to forgive me. And you know, I mean, I'm accountable to my wife, but I'm not accountable to some imaginary judge that's, you know, watching every little thing I do. And you've been shaking your Peter at the urinal one too many times there. Yeah, better put that down there. And you're going to need to repent. You know, I don't have that
eternal damnation for you. You know,
I don't have that constant feeling like I'm being hawked by a. And you bring all that on yourself. That's the thing. It's been bred into us over thousands of years, but it's just psychosomatic. It's all been learned. We've been bred, not so much you, because you weren't really raised religious, but like people like me and, you know, that were raised in religion, no matter what religion, you've been bred with that constant, a phantom supervision that's constantly watching you, constantly judging you, watching every little thing you do. When you live like that, if you really believe that, it really makes you neurotic. You just become crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
hell yeah.
You're watching
all the time. It's like a fucking video camera right on your face, man, all the time. It's like mass surveillance, man. That's a good metaphor for it, man. That's exactly what makes drives people crazy about mass surveillance. They just don't want to fucking be watched all the time, whether they're doing bad things or good. If it's a fucking nun, man, I'm sure after a while she gets sick of being mass surveyed, having a camera on her all the time wherever she goes. You know, it's the exact same thing. That's the reason people hate that. Except on top of when you're in religion and God, you're being judged. Everything you do determines whether you're going to hell or heaven, eternal damnation or the wonderful heaven. And you know, it's just so fucked up that how can you be a normal person when you're living under the fact of it? I went to church probably 20 times total in my life, so I haven't been a lot for sure. But I remember clearly, I was like 8 years old, and I was home, and I was talking to my sister, and I remember clearly telling her, I go, you know what, I don't believe in God. When I was like 8, and my sister goes, she was like shocked. She goes, I'm going to tell Dad, you know. And she, and of course, none of us really went to church anyway. So she runs in and tells my dad that I don't believe in God. My dad's like, well, we're going to have to go to church again. You know, that's not a good thing. Of course, we never did. You know, but it beats India that it's wrong. You know, right from there, I was an 8-year-old boy, and I knew then, dude. I knew then that there wasn't a God, except it was beat into me that it was wrong. you know, and that I should somehow. And like when I, you know, when I was in college, dude, I studied all kinds of religious shit. I've read like the Bhagavad Gita for Hinduism, and I've read almost all the Koran, and I've read the Bible 3 or 4 times. I mean, that the Bible's what made me an atheist. It just didn't it just didn't fucking make sense. And so
most people that read it
cleanse yourselves of it. You know, it's like, you know, you're able. It's like a freedom. You don't have someone hanging over you, deciding what the fuck, you know, deciding your eternity for you. You know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, I mean, it's just the longer we go every year. I mean, it's to the point now where all like the Jewish archaeologists and everything. They're proving that none of this stuff ever happened in the Old Testament, like the Exodus story and Genesis and everything. It's just day by day. They don't even believe their own book. That they don't call it a history book anymore. The people that are in the know, you know, I mean, they're basically saying it's just a story now. So, you know.
Yeah.
But,
Marge, are we Jewish?
No, huh?
Woohoo!
Yeah. But I mean,
come on, man.
Not
the chosen people. They are the chosen people.
Yeah. They're the chosen to start World War III, it looks like.
Right. How does that work now? They're the chosen ones to usher Christians into heaven. Is that the deal? They're the chosen ones to usher, and that's why
they have the original
hard on for like Israel and stuff, like religious Christians.
They were God's chosen people, supposedly. They had the first covenant with God. They had the blood sacrifice covenant where they had to sacrifice the lamb and all that. And supposedly, I don't even know how much of the stuff all even happened, but then they had, you know, then they got Moses, of course, got the Ten Commandments and all that, supposedly.
Yeah.
And
I mean, why are they chosen? What the fuck are they chosen for? I always thought it was to usher Christians into heaven. I could be wrong, but that's what I thought.
No,
they're just chosen for God
for
the sacraments. Is that the deal?
No,
that's why the
Christians are. That's the new sacrament. Constantine made that up. I think, you know, for a lot of Romans made that religion up. You know, and to try to control people and everything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's the only reason
that Christianity is probably still around is he decreed it as the you know. The Roman Empire is the religion of the Roman Empire, and then it turned into the Holy Roman Empire because of him. So.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely nuts. I mean, you know, when you really look at it in the macro vision view of the whole thing, you can kind of really see how it all came together. Like when you got those religious blinders on and you can't see what happened, you can't understand it. I know we both know some of the same people, and then there's people that are not stupid people. They're starting to. There's a few people. I call myself the de-evangelist because I talk to people, and I kind of try to talk them out of their faith, and it's hard to do. I've had success with a few people, but it takes a lot of time and energy because as hard as it is to get into it, it's even harder to get out of it. It's like the mafia, you know. It's really hard to do because you just, you know, anything anybody says to you that's against your beliefs is basically of the devil, you know. So it's like you can't, you know. The Bible warns that I'm coming to talk to you to try to get you out of your faith.
Yeah.
and that's the thing. You have to kind of come with the I don't really care attitude, but you're basically destroying the world. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you're destroying the earth. You battling with Muslims and all these different crazy sects, and it's really just destroying the world. And people are and then they're robbing us blind by, you know, keeping us fighting with each other. You know, and you know all that. I don't start getting into conspiracy theories tonight, but
and then the money they're getting from you right out of your pocket every time you go to church. You know, on top of that, they're robbing it straight out of your fucking wallet.
Yep.
Danger! Danger!
You know, yeah. Yeah, and you know, we didn't even, on the list, I mean, think of how fucked up and twisted tens of thousands of people are after they had pedophilia committed on them. Just think of how fucked up all those people are, man.
Well, they
I don't know if you ever had a chance to see it. It was called "Deliver Us from Evil," or actually "Deliver Us from." And it was about a specific priest out in California, and that motherfucker went from town to town, and he would rape all these little boys and some girls until finally the parishioners rose up and started complaining about it, not only to the church but to the cops. And then the church, when they were finally there was enough notice of it, they would just move him to another city.
Yeah.
And he would do it all over again. And he
well, that happened a lot.
Five or six different major cities in California, and he had in this movie alone, man, you got to check it out. It's on Netflix. It's either Deliver Us from Evil or Deliver Me from Evil. It's powerful, man. It has interviews with all the victims, dude, and they're fucking breaking down and crying. And they show, like, police interrogation of the high-level high-level church officials that just moved this guy around knowing that he was raping all these little kids. And they think that he fucking raped over 200 to 300 kids. One guy alone.
That's just crazy.
That movie, it is powerful, dude. And they got parents being like, I just never could have believed it, and I can't believe I let my kid, be with them, and people that were actually raped by him, and that motherfucker is walking free in Ireland right now, dude. He was given an assignment by the church back in Ireland, and so he's never been charged for that shit. He's never gone to prison for it.
That's insane. Now, I've had these talks with my mom before. We were raised Catholic, and my mom basically got us confirmed and, went through all the sacraments. Excuse me. And, she's still kind of I call her a backslidden Catholic, but she still goes on, like, Easter and Christmas and stuff and still kind of tries to keep her faith. And I've talked to her a few times about that stuff. It's really hard. And, I'll tell her about, some of the instances like you're talking about the – the criminal, just the pedophilia going on in the Catholic Church and all that. And it's the weirdest thing. She knows about it, but she's got this, like, I don't know if it's cognitive dissonance is the word, or I don't know what it is. It's just, it's like she knows it's horrific. I even talked to her last time. I don't like to talk to her a lot about it because she gets kind of upset and she starts getting weepy because she thinks I've lost my faith, which I have. And so she feels really bad.
How did that go? That's with your mom? I mean, how was that handled? I mean, do you talk to her about atheism anymore or anything?
I haven't talked to her in quite a while, but in Lamont's, but this is actually a recording of the last time I talked to her about it.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Said that to your mom?
Oh,
that's hard.
Yeah, my mom sounds like Tom Cruise, and I'm Jack Nicholson there. You can't handle the truth. But she can't. I mean, basically, that's true. I mean, she can't handle the truth. The truth is so horrific. When you really look at it, did you ever read or listen to any of the stuff that Christopher Hitchens did? He was the one that when somebody is being put up for sainthood, I guess, in the Catholic Church, they have to have an adversary counter against them. And they were doing that for Mother Teresa, and so they had Hitchens. He went in there, it was like a courtroom or whatever, and he had to build a case against her to not be made a saint, living saint or whatever. And he went in there, and, I mean, they got the right guy for the job because, I mean, he basically tore her ass apart. I mean, he's basically exposed her as having, like, a death cult in Calcutta, that hospital she had, and she was refusing to give medical services to people dying in there, and all they would give him is bread and water, and she would tell him that you're suffering for Christ. And basically she's getting all these millions and millions of dollars donated from all these different countries and even guys, people that were, people that were dictators in other countries that, they're evil dictators were donating her money. And she was sending all this money back to Rome, and she's living a lavish lifestyle, jet-setting around the world. And she's got a whole hospital full of people just rotting and dying and basically dying a torturous death. They refuse to give a medical treatment and everything. And this is her theory. This is what she believes. And this is my mom even kind of has a little bit of this, thinking sometimes.
and it's in their suffering Christ is glorified. Now that's
right.
That's the way they believe, and it's fucking madness. They're letting children and people suffer and torturous deaths, so she can. To me, it's to have extra money that they don't have to spend on the motherfuckers, the poor bastards. But that's how they justify it. You're exalting Christ. Christ is exalted in your suffering, and you give that to him, and he takes that from you. And it's fucking madness, dude. It's madness.
It's almost the same as the Nazi experiments, man, that they did in the concentration camps on the Jews, you know. And it was for a further good, where they did all kinds of medical experiments on the Jews, especially twins and shit. And it was all for the Reich, you know, all for the better of the superior race, you know. To me, that's kind of seemed to be a parallel right there between the two that popped into my head.
It's funny that you mentioned that because we could do a whole fucking show on the Nazis' connection to the Vatican.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's been coming
out of there after World War II, dude. All the fucking Nazis got fucking Vatican City passports. All the fucking scientists and shit that they want, that the U.S. and other countries wanted, the Vatican City smuggled those fuckers out with Vatican City passports to get them out of Germany before it was taken over. They were totally involved in that fucking shit.
I did
a show on that Operation Paperclip. It's sometimes called Project Paperclip. But that's all that was, man. That's where all of our – there's hundreds and hundreds of Nazis, especially scientists in the rocket, you know, portion of their program. But everything, intelligence and shit, a lot of the fucking Nazis, a lot being hundreds and hundreds, were smuggled in and integrated into the U.S. military-industrial complex, man. They're the ones that started, were some of the very first people that started the CIA. They were brought in with the beginning of the CIA. I forgot what year the CIA started, 47 or 49, and were some of the first few. They were some of the first few that started the whole jet propulsion and shit after fucking World War II, and the rocket scientists, dude. There was plenty of fucking Nazis that ended up making policy decisions for our military-industrial complex after the war.
And the way we're heading, it looks like we're kind of like a fascist regime now. You know, I mean, we've kind of mirrored that whole fascist, Nazi state. I mean, the way we're going, you know,
connect the fucking dots, man. You're absolutely right. I mean, the very fucking definition of fascism is where the corporations. I'm going to butcher his quote, but Mussolini, who was one of the greatest fascists, most ardent fascists that ever lived, said that fascism should be more appropriately called corporatism, because what it is a combination of corporations running the government, and that's what we have now. That's exactly through dark money. And Sheila, that's fucking what we've got going on right now, man. That's exactly it. So it's funny you made that fucking connection, because that's what modern day, and I think that's how it fucking evolved, man. They were there at the beginning of a lot of our fucking intelligence gathering, all of our fucking rocket, you know, a lot of that shit, and the straight out fucking SS Nazis, you know, came over through Vatican passports, into the U.S., man. So who knows what the fuck they've been. Vatican has been has had their hands in everything, you know. Any fucking dirty operation over the past probably, you know, 1500 years when they started gaining power is, you know, they've had their fucking hands in one way or the other.
Better watch out, man. You're talking like this and somebody hears us, we might be getting you might be having somebody kicking in your door pretty soon.
Might be that fucking elite. Might see that fucking elite
coming to get
guard that protects them, man. see them come in some fucking funny uniforms in my front door and be like, what the fuck are you, man?
They're watching your Blisterfish program.
They've got it fucking tapped, which wouldn't surprise me, man, since everything is fucking tapped nowadays. Everything,
Wait till I start getting the streaming photos up that I want to get up and start putting some photos up here. we're gonna really be in it.
Our phones are going to be clicking and shit and fucking, you know. We won't even do that anymore. Snowden said that the NSA is the kid that can every single fucking phone call.
You're right.
Sorry
about that. What did you say about
saying Snowden said that, you know, through all his fucking documents, said that they've got the ability to record every single phone call. Trillions of phone calls they've got the ability to record.
Yep.
That's, you know, so fuck, dude. Back to the whole surveillance thing. They're the new god, the NSA.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
Good thing they don't have to decide our eternity for us.
Yeah. Here's what they want to decide for us. Oh, nothing. Oh, terrible. Didn't even work. I had a misfire. What's that?
They're deciding their beats.
Yeah, they intercepted my drop.
With your mom, is there, you can't even, like, you guys don't really talk much about religion because you're not into it.
Yeah, matter of fact, I'm going to be heading up there this weekend. I haven't been up there in a while since the holidays.
Yeah.
And, we kind of agreed to just disagree. My dad gets really upset because my dad was an atheist all the time when we were growing up, when my mom put us through the Catholic Church, and he gets real, he's kind of in his older age now, he's trying to act like he believes in God and stuff, and I don't know what he's thinking, but I mean, forever he was an atheist, and he would go to church on a house. He'd go to church like once a year at Christmas time just to make my mom happy, but he was, but now he's acting like, you know, he's trying to give her beliefs legitimacy, and I feel like a hypocrite talking to her because, shit, 15 years ago, I was preaching to them about Christ crucified. Christ crucified, and they need to receive Christ as their Savior to be saved. And I was trying to make them feel guilty. So, I mean, I look like a fucking idiot now, 15 years later or whatever. Now I'm sitting there saying, you know, religion's all a scam, and it's all, you know, a mind fuck, and it's just social engineering from thousands of years ago. And, you know, you try to tell them this stuff, and you know, they as they're getting older now, they start pushing 70 or whatever. They don't want to hear that.
Yeah, you know, it's like a comfort to them where you know, as they get older and they start thinking about dying and stuff. And I don't know, man. To me, maybe we do end up going somewhere. But to have it be categorized as this little place in heaven where you know, or hell, depending on what you believe in, by this imaginary character, it's just ridiculous to me. I keep referring back to that whole string theory of having, you know, these parallel universes, man. I mean, maybe our energy resonates at a different fucking level, and we end up, you know, a different universe, understanding and doing different things, and who knows, man. But to certainly have it categorized as little heaven and hell, this neat little package where this you know, omnipotent God decides what's going to happen. It's just ridiculous. It just does not add up. It just doesn't make sense over and over and over again to me. So I don't know, man. You're even more unabashed than I am about religion. I'm still worried about offending some people about religion, you know, and especially like my stepmom is highly religious, and she had this is a good story. She had brain cancer, and she
your mother loved it.
My stepmom did.
Oh, your stepmom. Okay.
Yeah, back in the 80s, she had it like three times. And she had to have operated brain surgery three times. And the third time they operated on her, she got out of the operating room and was in recovery. And the doctors told her, we can't do anything more for you. You're probably going to die. So they just sent her home to die, basically. And she didn't. You know, it was in the 80s. And so she took it as it was a sign from God, a miracle that kept her alive.
And she's still alive today?
Oh yeah, she's 71 or something, and she's a tough old lady, man. You know, she's got a big old scar on the back of her head, where they cut her open right down her neck, the back of her neck, all the way down to her back, and they did surgery back there. But she's highly religious and believes absolutely that it was a miracle of God that saved her. And to me, I think it was a miracle of self, man. There was something in her that willed herself to be where she is today, whatever that is, you know.
Yeah.
But, again, you know, this is the imaginary, you know. But, I don't know. I don't know if I'm not sure if the cancer has receded. I imagine it would have to have, you know.
That's what I was saying. Is it a verifiable miracle, or is there a medical explanation for it?
There's no medical explanation for it, according to her. It was like her third operation, and they said they couldn't get it all, and there was just no way to. It was too deep into her brain for them to get all the cancer out, and that she was going to die, you know. And they sent her home, and she didn't. So that's understandable. She thinks that God fixed her up, you know. But there are always going to be unexplainable things, always beyond our comprehension. No matter if 1,000 years from now the human race is still around, and our intelligence is 100-fold, and we're integrated with computers, there still will be shit we don't understand, you know. And that'll be some. Yeah. It'll be things, you know, a recovery from some sort of illness that's unexplainable. You know, I mean, it's just it's things that happen sometimes in nature, man. You know.
So. Yeah. Crazy. Man, it's awesome. It happened, and you'd like to give her some credit for it and say, well, maybe she started eating better, maybe she started taking care of herself more, you know. Something
right.
She did also was a part of it, not just a miracle, you know, but who knows?
Yep. Who knows? It could have been anything.
I think stop
drinking water that's contaminated or, you know, who the fuck knows, you know, I mean, you know.
Yeah. I think you could kind of mind fuck yourself into thinking something's happening, you know, and it really isn't, but then it kind of somehow has a positive effect, you know.
Yeah.
Keep, you know. I mean, the mind is very powerful. I mean, you know that. I mean,
yeah.
We'll have to do a show on all that.
Sick, man. You can certainly can make you think yourself sick. That's for sure. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can make yourself sick, think yourself sick, and if you're determined, you've got something. Eventually, you're going to have it. Probably, you know, just sitting there thinking about it. Why is the reverse not possible?
Yeah, well, that's what I think it is too. I think you're so psyched out mentally. I think you just sit there and you just believe that you're healed. Everybody keeps telling you you're healed, and every once in a while, one out of 1,000 people will actually not die, you know, from what they say they're supposed to die of.
Right.
I mean, just out of natural odds, that's going to happen. I mean, every doctor that gives somebody a death sentence for cancer or whatever disease, there's got to be a percentage of those people that were given the
death
sentence that don't die from that and then die 20 years later or whatever.
Yep.
I mean, it's just not a natural odds. It's got to happen. So it doesn't mean it's a miracle. You know, it means, you know, she maybe had some decent treatment and got lucky and, you know, something they missed something going on within her that they didn't see that, you know, that she was cured.
Yeah,
but
there's something we just can't see with science yet.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Maybe there's something in her body that hasn't been recognized by science yet as a healing agent. Who knows?
Wouldn't it be nice if we come to the point where we have medical technology where they can tell what she did that helped that and helped her cure from that? And give her credit and make her feel good about something she fucking did instead of everything being from some mystical father in the atmosphere that we never can do anything good, that only anything good comes from him, and everything
that's
we do
exactly
is crap.
Right.
You know, you got poor person's, you know, dying of cancer on their deathbed, and they can't have no credit or for doing anything good. You know, still everything you do is crap. You need to be redeemed. You're going to hell without remission of sins from Christ's blood. You're just a piece of shit. You know, you can't do anything good. You're basically, you cause all your own sickness because it's from sin. Sin brought in sickness. You know, it's just a
yeah.
miserable fucking way to live, you know.
Yeah,
it really is.
It's
you
not
know.
Caused by the pollution outside or the fucking yeah. contaminants in your fucking water or, you know. To me, that's one of the most heinous things of Christianity is original sin. To say that no matter
yeah.
what you do in your life, no matter if every single fucking thing you do does not harm anyone else or, you know, but you're still full of sin, that's bullshit. That is so heinous, man, to say because of Adam and Eve, you're going to hell unless you believe
yeah.
in Christ. You know, yeah. it's fucked up.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Well, one of my favorite things that you sent out lately on Facebook was that one, it was like the poster, like those inspirational posters, and it had like six or seven babies on it. And it's,
oh, yeah.
It said, atheists, look at all the sin, or something
like
that.
Yeah, it said, look at how evil they are.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, something to that effect. It had a bunch of cute little babies and little baby bonnets, and they're all smiling and hugging each other and all laughing. And yeah, it's just atheists. Look how evil they are, you know,
yeah.
or something like that.
One's
fucking
crawling
hilarious.
In front of the rest of them and shit.
Yeah.
They're all smiling and shit. You know, and that.
Oh, my God.
That kid hits home on a bunch of fucking different levels, man. That's about original sin, that it's absolute bullshit. It also hits home on the only reason that religion exists is it's an environmental thing. Those kids don't know fucking anything about God, but they'll be taught it. Some of them will
yeah.
eventually. You know, it's all
yeah.
environment, man. And this is the other thing you can ask, like a devout Christian. This is what I'm hoping I can ask. Someone will call on it, come on eventually. And this is going to be one of my questions for him right here. I've asked a couple highly religious people, and they lie straight to their teeth. And I tell them that they're going to anyway. I say, you're going to lie to me about this, but I'm going to ask you the question anyway. And I say, if you were born in the slums of Pakistan, would you be Christian?
Yeah.
I would be. I'd still believe in Christ. Bullshit. You'd
yeah.
be Islamic because of your environment, because of where you grew up and who taught you what religion was about. And that's
oh, yeah.
a perfect example. It's all about your fucking environment, man.
Yes, most definitely.
You know? Those little babies, they're not going to, I mean, they're not going to, they won't have, know anything about religion until they're taught it, about, and then they start being taught, at an early age, it's how wonderful religion is, you know, usually, if it's from religious parents, it's how wonderful religion is, and a lot of times
yeah.
it takes a lot to fucking discard it later in life, man, to reject everything you've been brainwashed to do early in life, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, if they're over there being Christian, they're going to get this. Yep.
That's if they're fucking lucky, dude.
Yeah, that's if you're. The scourging is the good. That's the light sentence. Is to get a scourge. That'd be actually
that's
a
lucky
pretty excellent
end of things.
Be yep.
fucking quartered yeah. or something, man.
Or the second step.
Ready? Ready? Fire!
That sounds more like a civil war though. that's probably custard.
Yeah. It'd be a little more devious than that nowadays, man. It's just like that chick who was I think it was in Pakistan, it could have been Afghanistan, where she was promoting, you know, girls going to school and stuff. And
Taliban
got on the bus and shot her right in the fucking head, you know, because she was
yep.
becoming famous for advocating girls going to school, you know, a religion again. Every time
yep.
you see these wackos that fucking, you know, I want to look for that story, that lady that drove her car through the church, and she said it was because God told her to. Let me see if I can find that story. And then NASCAR caused it, drove her crazy and made her stab her husband.
Yeah.
And drove her car right through the church.
Yeah, I think I've seen that story. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I don't know if I can find it right now, but that's a crazy one. Here's another good one that's again off a Raw story. And this is
what is it, man?
This is how delusional fucking they get. This guy, he's an Oklahoma pastor, and he says he accidentally flooded Texas by praying too hard.
Oh, Jesus.
Oops.
Christ.
I prayed so hard I flooded Texas.
Yeah. That's he needed to go to California. This shit, they've been in droughts forever. Should have moved his church to California.
Yeah, you got
could
start a business, man.
If he's able to
flood someplace, he could go from drought to drought and pray and make money off of it and make money for his church.
Call it,
pastor of a church, dude. He leads the church.
The business could be called like Ahab's Pentecostal sprinkler systems. We don't even need any water hookup. We just get it by faith.
It could be called. Tears of God.
Yeah, it's a great business. There's no overhead. We don't need anything. You just pray, and the rain comes.
Sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes it comes. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, it's like 50-50. Yeah, just
I pray and it doesn't. Sometimes I pray and it does. I don't get it, but I still pray. It's about 50-50. That's like a fucking Carlin skit.
Isn't that a daisy?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, Carlin's one of my all-time heroes, man, when it comes to religion. I mean, he just breaks it down in every day. This is why it's total bullshit on an everyday level. This is why it's bullshit.
Carlin started, I was a practicing born-again Christian from 89, July 23rd, 1989, till I started really getting out of it like 99, 2000, 2001, right somewhere in there, it really started cracking for me, and I became basically the term that born again Christians would use would be called backslidden at that point. But I wasn't like an atheist at that point, but I was kind of, you know, heading towards agnosticism. And Carlin really planted the seeds with me, because I mean, I went and seen him when I was a Christian as a comedian, and you know, just a lot of the things that he said, it just kind of sticks with you, you know, and you just like. Guy is really smart, and you're like, you know, a lot of this stuff doesn't add up. And I was younger. Some of it was in the 80s. I used to listen. I had a lot of his cassette tapes, and I would listen to him a lot, you know. And he was always very anti-Christian, anti-religion. But the way he said it, it made so much sense, you know. And it didn't.
Yeah.
Not till years later, you know. It's kind of weird. It's almost like he was a de-evangelist, because years later. Those seeds that he planted with me in the 80s and in the late 80s, early 90s, when I was a hardcore Christian, born again Christian, those seeds that he planted, you know, kind of grew and got me out of my faith, you know, and basically,
yep.
You know, got me out of the brainwashing. And
yep.
I think his comedy basically kind of opened the door for me to have a different way of thinking and, you know, and being able to accept some of the stuff, you know, and understanding what's going on, you know.
Yeah. I mean, when you can make fun of it and it really it hits home and starts making sense, that's powerful, man. You know, you make light of it, but it's still like, holy shit, he's absolutely fucking right about it. You know, at the same time, yeah, his whole skit about praying to Joe Pesci. You know, I pray to Joe Pesci. You know, and that's, you know, 50% of the time, man. You know, sometimes it rains, sometimes it doesn't. You know, and he
seems like a guy that can get stuff done. And Joe Pesci don't take no shit off nobody.
Yep. And he boils it down to just everyday stuff. And for me, it being everyday is like the crazy neighbor test. This is how you could tell that religious people. What if you had your neighbor come up, knock on the door, and be like, "Hey, dude, guess what, man? I got my son in my trunk. God just talked to me and told me I need to bring him up to this hill and kill him. So I got him all tied up in my trunk. I'm going to run up there and kill him. When I get back, let's have a beer or something. What would you fucking do? Would you fucking be, oh, okay, that's cool. Or would you call the cops and say, hey, this dude's bringing his son up and he's going to fucking kill him up on this hill? You know?
Yeah.
Crazy neighbor test. Pull
one of these out.
What's?
What? Ah, so I pull one of these out. Nah, jeez, I do it.
That one's not working. You gotta add some more zingers in there, man, for our next show for sure. Keep them going. Get rid of that one. Make sure you delete that one. That one's not fucking working. But that's it for me. It's just like the day-to-day stuff. If you had your neighbor knock on the door, hey, man, my bush out back is on fire, is burning, and God started talking to me. You know, a crazy fucking neighbor. You know, crazy dude.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all the stuff that's the foundation of the Bible, man. You know, it's the fucking foundation of the Bible. I mean, you know, all these stories of when you really think about them day to day, hey, I'm going to fucking bring my son up and kill him because God told me to do that. Well, you're a crazy motherfucker, and you need to go away, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just the daily stuff when you look at what the Bible's based on. If you boil it down to what's happening today, man, you crazy fuck, you know? Go away, man. Don't kill your son. Just
hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
you know, crazy neighbor test. That's mine. That's my litmus test. Fucking crazy.
I mean, it's sad that people are like that. I mean, there's people that are out there that are actually, you know, and I think I've told you some of the crazy stuff that I went through as a Pentecostal Christian in the 90s. I've seen some just absolutely insane stuff. I mean,
you know, my wife went to Pentecostal church until she was about 15.
Yeah.
She grew up, she's right down here, man. You know, and they didn't do the snakes, but they did the talking in tongues.
Oh, yeah. I did all that, too.
Really? Through the three-hour services? And
yeah, three-hour services, praying for people to be delivered of the devil. You know, all that, man. I was a spiritual warfare. I mean, I was just, you know, oh man. I thought I was on my way to fame and fortune, being a you know, famous faith healer or something. I don't know what I was thinking. Just really madness, you know.
Yeah.
Now the crazy stuff that happens to me now is like this kind of stuff.
Down a beer? 7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch?
Yeah, that's the kind of crazy shit that happens to me now.
man. But, you know, in the long run for you, man, do you feel like more grounded now, more centered than you did when you believed so vehemently in God?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean,
Hello?
Yeah. How do you?
Yeah.
I mean, how what's the difference now? I mean, do you feel a little more under control with yourself now, or what's the difference?
Yeah, I feel a lot happier. I feel a lot freer. I feel like I'm free. I feel like I don't have a lot of mental anguish I feel like I had a lot of stress that was unneeded. That's like psychological stress because, I mean, when you're a true Bible believing Christian. And you think you're working within the will of God, and you're working in like the Holy Spirit's working through you, and you're delivering people, and you're at the gas pump, and you're passing out tracts, and you're talking to people about Jesus and all that. When you're doing all this stuff, you're like a Westboro Baptist Church type deal, you know, and you're doing all that kind of stuff. I wasn't that crazy, but I mean, but a lot of what they do is basically they're just coming straight out of the Bible, And when you're like that, when you think you're, you know, saving people and God's working through you and stuff, that's your only joy is basically making people feel like they're going to hell if they don't receive Christ as their Savior. So unless they get saved, you really don't, you're not happy because you're making people feel bad, you know, so unless they get saved and become like how you feel you are, it's really a miserable fucking life. And, you know, it's just, you know, and you're always telling people, well, the Holy Spirit will convict you
of your sins, and then you'll be convicted, and then you'll want to receive Christ if you just keep hanging around with us and listening to preach the Bible and preaching Christ crucified and all this stuff. And you know, it's just kind of it's a psychological fucking cult. I mean, I think a lot of the stuff that goes on now in the Christian Church in America wasn't born in early Rome in 200-300 AD or whatever. It was born in the 1800s in America. A lot of the stuff that happens here is just a lot of the whole rapture crowd and all that. That all came from the 1860s and 1850s. I can't remember the guy that came up with the whole rapture theology, but a lot of the stuff in the American church today and the big revival they had in the 50s and the 1950s, that it was from all that, and it's still a lot of leftover. Now the mainstream church is trying to get a lot more hip, and there's a church, I know some people that went to it. They got rock concerts there, my history. I was in a Christian metal band in the 90s and all that, and I didn't really want to get into that in this show, but I did that, I don't know what it was, about on and off for about 8, 9 years, 10 years almost. And it's just crazy. It's like a big giant cult, it's a brainwashed cult. You're believing in something that you're believing in somebody that most likely never even existed, and it's just it's crazy. I mean, it's cognitive. What do they call it? Cognitive dissonance. I mean, you're just your mind's off, man.
And disconnected from reality, from things that actually are happening.
I literally lived from 89 to about 2000. 99 or 2000, for about 11 years, I lived totally out of reality. I wasn't living in reality. You feel like I actually went through some depression about 5 years ago or 6 years ago. I was kind of like depressed. I felt like I wasted like over a decade of my life. And then I really thought about it, and I'm like, I wouldn't be where I'm at now if I wouldn't have went through that. I wouldn't have the same. Yeah, I wouldn't have the same knowledge I have now if I wouldn't have went through that. I went through that for a reason. I had to go through it, because I was too indoctrinated. All my family were hardcore Catholics. We all went through all the sacraments. I thought that's what it was. And then I turned my back on that and said, well, that's not the truth. Now the truth is this evangelical new back in the late 80s. It was a big wave of, Pentecostals and all that, and I was like, now this is real. This is like a living, breathing thing. I can get excited about this, I got excited about it, but in the end, it got me out of some problems I was having back then, drinking too much. I was in the military and running around doing bad things, but, it helped me for a short time, but then when you find out it's not, not real, you're just kind of left to your own. You're left to face your own self, and you gotta get better, or you're gonna stay the same, So
yeah, that's interesting. All right, dude. Well, let's talk to our call in for anybody for future shows. We're gonna leave it at the end of the show here too. It's 646-595-4686. This is our first show, man. I like it. I think it went well.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll add some more things for the audience as we go along, dude, refine and change it as we go. But I think it ended up being right where I was hoping it would, man. We had some good convo, and hopefully we'll get some calls along the way, maybe do some debating and talk to some crazy religious people, and maybe not so crazy.
Yep.
We'll see what everybody has to say about everything.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, I think. Old DB, and we'll have a good time. And
we're going to be here to talk for future shows here. Wait, are we going to try and do Wednesdays at 7 o'clock Eastern?
Yeah, we're going to try to keep doing Wednesdays, 7 to 9. Or we can move it later if you want. I mean, I was trying to keep off the other atheist shows that are popular at the time, and it seems like they're like 9 to 11.
Let's
so.
Keep this for now, and then if it doesn't work out, maybe we can move it, but maybe next week we'll try and plan another 7 o'clock show. Does that sound good?
All right. Yeah,
all right,
sounds
man.
Good. We'll schedule it for next week, and I'll talk to you later, and I'm going to get out of here with this, and I'm just going to play the intro song out, and We'll talk to you next week, Dennis.
Oop. All right.
DB. Old DB.
Yeah. Peace. Talk to you later, man.
All right. Yep.
Set a spell. Take your shoes off. Y'all come back now. Here.